Good morning, brothers and sisters, guests. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My talk was going to be on friendship, but yet we all have friends. We know what that's about. After studying and trying to prepare this exhortation for you, I came to a new topic, and that topic is the power of one. So let me start by telling you this story. There was a business owner, and he was trying to cut the cost of labor down. So he decided in his zeal to save money that he was going to fire a few employees. So he randomly chose a few people, and he spent a better part of the day rehearsing his "I'm sorry" speech. You know, "I'm sorry, I got to do this to you." So he finally gets down to the last person, and he calls in Joe. And Joe already knows what's going on. I mean, this job cuts is going throughout the plant. But Joe's ready for it. He's rehearsed. So as he goes in, Joe sits down, and he says, "I'm sorry I have to do this to you." And Joe interrupts him and says, "You can't do this to me. Boss, please listen. You have to understand. My son has always been in trouble. My son has gone from school to school. My son has been in problems with the law. Nobody wants him. I can't get him into a good education system. He's been kicked out of school everywhere. But now, my wife and I have finally gotten him into a really good school. It's a private school, and he's doing very well there. He's made friends, and he's getting good grades." So the boss asked him, "You know, what is this school?" And Joe responds and tells him what the name of the school is. So the boss is taken aback because he knows the school. He says, "You know, that school was very expensive because I know I send my kid there." And Joe says to him, "You know, we've been cutting corners at our home to try to afford the school for our kid. My wife has taken another job. It's been tough, but it's been worth it. My son is doing great, and everybody likes my kid there, and they call him the champ." And the business owner, he stops dead in his tracks and leans back in his chair, and he thinks for a moment. And he says, "Well, Joe, you know, I've made a lot of cuts today, and I think I'm going to be able to afford to keep you on. You're going to have a job with us." And Joe is very surprised and says, "Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. I'm not going to let you down. You're not going to regret keeping me here." And as Joe walks out of the office, the boss, he looks at a picture of his son that's on his desk, a picture of his son in a wheelchair. And he opens a drawer and pulls out a letter that his son wrote. And the letter says, "Dear Dad, things are great this year. No one picks on me. No one is mean to me. Everybody likes me. I'm having a wonderful time at school. And I even have a new friend. Everybody likes him. He's a new guy. They call him the champ. And he protects me. And I'm always with him. And nobody bothers me. And I can't tell you what a wonderful time I'm having in school this year." Well, that's the difference one kind person had made in his life. It took one person to accept him, one person to show him a more meaningful existence, one person to break that barrier and one person to affect that one life in that wheelchair. And the business owner who has a son with an incredible hardship, whose heart was relieved when to know that his son was loved and accepted, and his son was protected at school. And through all this, he knew that his wealth and his power as that business owner could not protect his son when he was in school. He knew the hardship that his kid was going through, but he could do nothing about it. But it took that one person to help that kid out. And the child in the wheelchair is learning something new. He's learning that though many are blind, life is not fair. But God's love is shown through others. God's love is shown through friendship. And friendship is one of God's blessings to all. And kindness is shown to all in their hour of need. The father, the champ, whose son not only saved his job, but it affected his life. It affected his boss. It affected them in a way that they never thought that their lives would be intertwined. And his boss knew that his decision now would have affected his son's life. Because if his employee would have lost his job, they wouldn't have been able to afford that private school for him. And without that, the champ being there, who was going to watch over the boss's son? Who was going to protect him? Who's going to keep him from ridicule? Is those of us, those people who are different, those people who are disabled, those that are not like us, those are the ones that suffer. It takes kindness, it takes love, it takes compassion, it takes a lot of guts to step out of your box, out of your comfort zone, to help somebody out. And finally, the champ. His success at school would have been short-lived if he hadn't cared enough to extend kindness to someone in need. And what an elaborate symphony God plays out in that connection by commingling the lives of all these individuals. He taught a lot of lessons there to the rich business owner. He taught a lesson that he shouldn't make rash decisions because they affect other people. They destroy lives. He also knows that money doesn't ensure happiness. Money doesn't ensure invincibility. Money doesn't give you power over everything around you that goes on. But that one person affected them. And brothers and sisters, let's take a moment to think of people, individuals who have affected your life. The person who introduced you to the truth. We all have one of those individuals that come to our mind. I'm asked many times, how did you become a Christadelphian? And of course, well, I point to my wife because she dragged me into this. But our sister Cindy over there had a great impact on my being here. That's that one individual for me that I can always look to. I'll point her out in the crowd. But who introduced you to your spouse? That's a life-changing issue. That one person probably cared enough for you to say, Hey, Jeff, you know, I want you to meet this girl, Kelly. She's great. She'd be perfect for you. And she has. So those individuals are out there. How about that one person who came to your rescue when you were in your time of need? When you were distraught, you're having a hard time at home, you're having problems with your spouse, your kids. If you don't listen to them, if you don't reach out and say, hey, you know what, I am having a problem. Who is out there to help me? God has put those people there. And unfortunately, it's also one person that can work in reverse. A person who can hurt you, a person who can cause you pain, a person who can put you in an upsetting situation that will have an effect on not just on your life, but on others. It will only take one person to draw you away from the truth. There isn't a gang out there waiting for you to jump you and take you away from God, to pull your Bible out of your hand and burn it. One individual can do that to you. So let's beware. Beware for those people. You know that you can find strength in those around you of that, what we call that like precious faith. You can find protection in those people that you deal with. Your brothers and sisters here. You know, and we all fall into those categories. We kind of group ourselves with who we're going to hang out with or who we're going to do stuff with. I myself, and I think it's the biggest culprit of that. Because I say to myself, well, you know, if that brother doesn't hunt and fish, you know, why am I going to hang out with him? So I need to pull myself out of that box. I need to step out and talk to people who are not hunters and fishermen. Maybe I could convince them to do that. But you would be amazed how a word can cut, you know, how a smile can heal, and even more amazed how forgiveness can heal you. And in our class this morning, it's going to be a great class on grace. Grace that, you know, we don't, it's an undeserving gift, undeserving kindness. You don't have to be, they don't have to do something to you. But forgiveness, when you forgive someone who's done you wrong, it can also heal you. And now, we've all had a hard walk. We all fail somehow, sometimes. But how sweet it is, what a feeling it is when somebody comes by to help you up when you failed. When a brother or a sister reaches out and says, hey, I know what you're going through, I know what your problems are, and I'm here to help you. Let me lift you up. Let me help you. I think we all understand that there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of fear in these things, in committing these acts. And I think we all understand that God is our support. He is our emotional crutch. But we can extend a hand to those of us that are in the body of Christ. If one part of the body is not functioning, then we all suffer. We need to keep an eye out. We need to keep aware of those around us that are having trouble. You could be that one person that's going to help that person out. It does not always take a committee. It doesn't always take a group or, you know, let's go buddy up and go after him. A kind phone call, a helpful word, a hand of friendship. God commands us to love one another as ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." And comfort, think about that word, comfort. To try to comfort someone takes courage. And when somebody we know has experienced a loss, we have a fear that we can't fill that obligation. You know, what can I say? What am I going to be able to do that'll make a difference? How can I help? We have to step over that boundary and reach out to that individual. That one person can make a difference for them. Now, I know everybody, I've always felt this, that if when I've known somebody who's lost a loved one or who's gone through something really, really difficult, what can I say to them? You know, how am I really going to be able to comfort them? But you don't know that until you try. You don't know that unless you speak those words and you walk up to them and say, "Hey, buddy, you know, and I'm really sorry about what's happened. You know, what can I do to help? I'm really sorry for what you're going through. Let's pray together. You know, you're hurt, and it hurts me to see you in this situation. Maybe we can go talk to someone together." But unless you cross that line, unless you actually reach out, you're never going to know if you were the one person who was going to be able to affect that individual, bring them back. You know, the Bible says that to bring back someone who has stumbled, somebody who has fallen away, covers a multitude of sins. There's those out there that need help. If we can only work up the courage inside to get out there and extend that hand or extend a kind word. Isaiah 40:29 says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." If you don't think you're ready, a prayer before you set out on your mission. A prayer, say, "God, help me. I have a brother who's in need." We can find strength in our God. We also find comfort in Him, that He is with us in those trying times. God gives power to the faint of heart. And sometimes a lack of faith in ourselves, and we're convinced that we can't help. Or what can I do? These excuses stop us from doing God's will. And it is our duty to help. And besides, you know, when we take the focus off ourselves, when we take the focus off our own sorrows and obsessing with our own problems, and we look to help someone, to help someone else, it's amazing the clarity you get into your own life. It's amazing how when things start to come together, the feelings of humility and goodness, they call it that warm, good, touchy feeling, you actually start to experience that when you reach out and help someone. Philippians 2:4, God says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the thing of others." And no greater sacrifice can a man make than giving his own life for another. And that is the ultimate love. And God wants us to show that love to one another. And some of the ways that we show that love is, of course, by to follow His commandments, but by showing love to God's children. Now, we are all God's children. So, again, we need to step out. It's not just those in the ecclesia that you're going to be looking out for. There are people at work, friends of a friend, individuals that you don't have a lot in common with. They are God's children. You show your love to them by doing that work. John 3:18, My children, let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. Deeds and truth. Good deeds. Deeds that are for the good of others and not just for ourselves. The works that we do, they are important, but you can't be selective on what deeds or how much help you're going to get or how much you're going to give. You can't tell yourself, well, I'm going to help that guy out, or I'm going to help that sister out because, you know, I'm going to need them to for a project I'm doing later. Or you know what, if I help that guy out at work, I may get promoted from this. So you can't base it on how much value you're going to receive from being helpful. You need just to go out there and you need to do it. What is a good deed if you're going to be getting something back? What is that good deed if you're already measuring the amount of benefits that you're going to receive from doing that good work? So let's not fall into that attitude or into that trap about doing something so that you can get something in return. Well, just like the story of the champ, love and acceptance is a key to helping your family. Your acceptance of the many shortcomings we all have, because nobody in this room here is perfect. Everybody falls short. Everybody, I think, falls short, even not just of your own expectations, but your expectations of your loved ones, your spouse, your children. But accepting that your way is not the only way, you have to love and you have to forgive. And you also have to tell yourself that your way is not going to be the only way to get things done. Accepting help from others is sometimes going to be the only way that you're going to resolve any of the problems that you have. And accepting help from others is going to mean that you're going to have to be brave enough to open yourself up to examination from other people. It takes a lot of courage to be truthful about what your own problems are. It takes a lot of courage to be able to tell others, not quite strangers, but other people in your ecclesia, other people in your meeting, maybe somebody from another meeting that you meet at Bible school. Takes that courage, takes that step, that very first step to say, I've got a problem. But that's another responsibility we have. It's a responsibility to your brothers and sisters to love without ceasing, to love without refrain, to forgive without measure, to aid one another for our spiritual health. It just takes one. Maybe you want the power of one to help out. We should be strengthened by, and take courage, and take heart by the one individual who has helped us out. Let's turn to the memorial table. It is through that one person, through Christ Himself, that we have forgiveness for our sins. And through that one man can we approach God. Through him, that one person, that we are reconciled. You know what? I've heard this before when people have told me, You know, I want to be the kind of person that God wants me to be, but I don't know what it is. I'm not quite sure yet. But he has already showed us how he wants us to be. We need to take that attitude of Christ. We need to be like him. Our Lord has affected all of us. So we should go out and do the work that were required of us. We need to go out and extend that hand to those that are outside of our circle and take comfort that God is with us, that He's listening to your prayers, and He will be with you in your time of need.